desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God, and it does have to do with McDonald's drive-through, but we're going to get there. Felt a burden this morning to revisit passage of Scripture over in 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. I have written on the board 3 yogurt parfaits, and before I sit down, I trust that you will understand why I have titled it that way. Before we look in the Word, I am very thankful for Jesus this morning. I'm thankful for His name. I'm thankful for what it represents to us this morning. I'm thankful that He's our Savior. I'm thankful that He's our Redeemer. I'm thankful that He is there to be a comfort to us. He's there to be a friend to us. And I'm thankful this morning that Christ has truly proven His friendship. Not just in name only. We say the name of Jesus, it's a lovely name and that's poetic. But it is the reality of His name that has made a difference in my life. A friend that I could depend on, a friend that would not turn away in time of trouble, a friend that would be there in difficulty, a friend that would still be a friend with my mistakes and failures and personality quirks, a friend that has been there through the trials and the storms of life. He has been faithful and proven Himself. And I know that you all can testify to the same thing because that's Jesus. That's who He is. He is like no other friend. He's like no other person on the face of the world, in the face of the earth, because He not only understands our needs, but He has the ability to do something about it. Sometimes you can share your heart with someone and they can give some sympathy, but that's about all they can do. There have been many times I wish I could just solve the problem. Wish I could just take care of it, but we're so limited. But we have a friend in Jesus this morning that not only understands the heart's faint whisper, the song says, but He is there to minister to the depth of needs that we have in life. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, will begin a very familiar passage of Scripture. When the Lord gave this to me, I began to think, it's like, well, Lord, I know I shared this a while back. I wasn't sure how far back it had been. I went and looked, and it was almost 2 years ago. So I guess it's fair game. But this is what the Lord put on my heart to share, and I want to revisit this passage this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll begin reading. It said, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Background, Elijah had prophesied according to the word of God that there would be no rain to Ahab. Ahab was a wicked man and they had been doing wickedly, and it was the judgment of God on the country of Israel that there's not going to be any rain until Elijah said, until I say. It was until the Lord told him. That was a lot of power being invested in Elijah. And Ahab, you know, was going to be looking for Elijah after it didn't rain for a while. It's like, where is he? Because I want to find him and force him to say there's going to be rain, whatever it takes. But Elijah went, and I want us to know this morning that serving God does not mean everything's going to always be easy. Because see, Elijah had to endure the famine like everybody else did. There was famine in the land because of sin, and Elijah suffered because of it as well. He couldn't be in his little house and maybe do the things that he normally did. He was going to have to not only hide out, but he was going to have to try to find a place that he could get food and water. This morning, we live in a world that is full of sin. And we're going to suffer some heartache because of the presence of sin. And just because we love the Lord this morning, just because you might be saved, does not mean that we're going to be exempt from the heartaches that life brings. When Miss Speaking spoke recently, Brother Randy and I were talking last week, I would much rather go through the heartache of life with God than to go through the heartache without Him. In other words, there's heartache in the world because of the presence of sin, even if it's not in your life. We're all going to suffer because of it. And that's what we have to look forward to in heaven. We are saved from sin here in this life, but in heaven we're saved from the very presence of sin. And I'm looking forward to it. But Elijah had to endure some things. But even through that, the Lord had a place prepared for Elijah. He had a place in mind, and He told Elijah, He said, I want you to go by the brook Cherith. I'm going to take care of you. This morning, in all of life, in the difficulties and the battles and the trials that life brings, God has a plan for your life. God has something in mind for each and every one of us. And if we'll listen to the Lord, we're going to be spared some of the famine. Because when others were going without, the Lord told Elijah, He said, go to the brook. This morning, if you're thirsty and you're hungry and there's needs in your life, I want to encourage you to listen to the voice of the Lord, and He'll take us where we need to go. I don't know what brook God's calling you to, but there is a brook. There was a brook Cherith that He had set aside for the prophets. And Elijah did according to the word of God. And he went there, and God supplied his need. It said in the morning and in the evening, He gave him flesh. He brought meat for him, it said, by ravens. And I remember just even still as a boy that in the storybook, the Bible storybook, the picture of the black raven and Elijah there by the well. And I don't want to dispel that. The Lord can use anything He wants to provide for us. And that's the key point the Lord provided. That some of the translations bear out in the Arabic and some of the ancient transcripts bears out that word raven actually means merchant. And actually, some of them, it refers to Arabians. Merchants that were coming by that brook that were giving food to the prophet of God. It doesn't take away from the miracle of the story. The beauty of the story is that God provided for the need. Whether He did it by a bird or whether He did it by a merchant, at the end of the day, his belly was filled up because God knew he had a need and God met the need. You know, sometimes God provides in the least expected ways. But folks, the promise that God has given to His children is that I will take care of you. I will provide for you. Passage of Scripture in Psalms 34, verse 15. Says the eyes of the Lord, you remember where they are? They're over who? They're over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are opened unto their cry. Folks, God is not immune to the needs that His people have this morning. God is not immune, and when you pray and pray and pray, and it seems like God's not answering prayer, have you been there? And it just seems like nothing's changed. I want you to remind us this morning, the Lord is hearing your prayer, and the Lord's eyes are over you, and He knows exactly where you are. And He has a brook Cherith that He wants to get us to. I remember, and I wasn't there, but I remember Renee and the children were out, and they'd gone to the mall, and this was in for Ethan's benefit this morning. He was 6 years old, so it's been, what, 6 years ago? You were five, all right? It was 7 years ago. How old are you? Okay. 7 years ago. And they were at the mall, and in Zachary and he, there used to be a play area there, and I don't know that there is anymore. But they were playing in there, so Renee stepped into a store that was right there by the side. And when she came out of the store, she said, Zachary, come on. And she went into another store just expecting that they both had come. And they got in the other store and pretty soon looked around and Ethan wasn't there. And apparently he must have crawled up in one of those toys and gone to sleep. And when he woke up, and by the time Renee figured out he was gone, and they got back, he had woken up and walked outside trying to find him. 6 years old. And Renee, you know that feeling of desperation if you've been parents and you don't know where your children are? And you know even more the desperation that he felt. I remember being little, and I think my family was being a little ornery, but it left me with the impression that I was being left. And I remember that the feeling of desperation that you feel, it's like, my family's leaving me. Well, that was the reality there. Renee had not done it on purpose. It was one of those things that happened. And ended up, I think he was crying out in the parking lot, and a lady found him and took him into security. And all said and done, he's still with us today. We're glad for that. But there are times in life, spiritually, that we may feel like we're lost. And we may be wandering in the parking lot with tears coming down our eyes saying, Lord, I don't know where you are. And the fact of the matter is, Renee didn't know where he was either. That's a problem. But with God this morning, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He has not forgotten you. He knows where you are. I've heard about people, and if you've done it, I'm not getting on to this. I've heard about people leaving service and leaving their children in the chapel. And then getting halfway home and realizing that, oh, they were asleep under the bench. Do you realize that the Lord knows where we are this morning? That gives me comfort even when I'm looking for the Lord. And I'm wandering around with tears coming down saying, Lord, I need to see you. The Lord knows where I am. He knows where you are this morning. And His ears are open unto your cry. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities this morning. I'm so thankful God knows where we are. And He loves us and He cares for us and He desires to help us. This passage where it said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, it gives the intonation of a guardian, of a protector. You know, I've shared this before, but I still remember walking down at Guthrie at the old chapel, and it was at nighttime, and it wasn't a real good neighborhood down there. And I was walking down there, and there was some pretty rough areas down there, actually. And I remember looking down on the ground, and there was a big old shadow walking right beside me. You know, I thought, well, with someone that big, I don't need to worry about what's around. I've got a protector. Big old fella, he was just my shadow. But the Lord started talking to me. And He let me know, I'm walking with you. I'll be there for you. Folks, there are things that are bigger than us this morning. There are things that if we can, we already talked about, relinquish control and say, Lord, I don't know what to do and I don't know where to go, but I've got a need in my life. The Lord's going to take care of us. So even if you go through some heartache, folks, there is a brook Cherith, and the Lord's eyes are over your life. And when it feels like God's not there, let your faith take hold this morning. God knows where you're at. You may not know where you're at, but God does. And He's going to be faithful to minister to us when the time is right. When the time is right, He's going to come through. We sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm thankful that just the smallest expressions of the heart, the Lord knows that need this morning. Well, God told the prophet to go to that brook Cherith, and the Lord provided for him. But in verse 7, something interesting happened. It said it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Who had taken Elijah to that brook? Lord, You brought me here. I'm here because I did what You said, and now I've got a problem. Maybe I shouldn't have come to start with. I don't know, that feels like something I've thought before. Have you considered, you think, well, Lord, you brought me to the brook. And it seemed like You were blessing. I was being fed and watered. And all of a sudden I looked and the brook's dried up. But do you know that for the time, that is where God wanted Elijah? There was a brook that the Lord wanted him to be beside. Folks, just because God has taken you to a place and the brook dries up does not mean that you should have never gone to the brook. That was the time that the Lord used that brook Cherith to minister to Elijah. But as time went on and changes came, the Lord still had a plan. The Lord still knew the need. But it's easy for us many times to question God. And many times to even question ourselves. It's like, well, maybe God really didn't call me to come to the brook Cherith. But the Lord sustained him there. There had been blessings there. So it doesn't mean that God wasn't in it. It just means that God has a plan and His time and timing has a lot to do with things. So today it may be the brook Cherith, but what about when the brook dries up? You know, the Lord wasn't sitting back with His arms folded and said, well, brook dried up, tough. No, God still had a plan in mind. He had something in mind for him. And so in verse 8, and I'm so thankful, folks, when the brook dries up, I'm thankful for verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, all right, Lord, I came to the brook and I'm thankful, but it's dried up. And then the Lord came and he spoke again. And this is what he said. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And Elijah, you know, it could have been easy to say, well, Lord, maybe you should have just sent me to Zarephath to start with. It wasn't the right time. If you would have gone to Zarephath, there wouldn't have been a widow woman that was ready to sacrifice for you. Now it was time to be at the brook Cherith. And after changes and times and God's will has been accomplished, now I've given you some more instruction. Told someone recently, so it was a young man, I said, that, and he had a heart to work for the Lord and do for the Lord, and he had school and jobs and church activities that he was trying to get all together. And I told him, I said, you know, we want to know what God has in mind for us tomorrow. But I said, the problem is if God showed us today what we'd be doing tomorrow, we try to do it right now. I mean, that's pretty human of us. If I knew that tomorrow the Lord wanted us to be in Joplin, some of us would say, well, it's more convenient to go tonight. Let's get in the car and go. We don't need to wait till tomorrow. Now's not the time to go to Joplin. That's tomorrow's job. And so the Lord doesn't show us what tomorrow holds. But when the brook dries up, don't think God has forsaken you. Don't think God has left you. He's still got a plan for you. And so when the brook dries up, the word of the Lord came again and he said, get up, Elijah, and now go dwell in Zarephath. God was working on this widow woman during that Cherith experience. During that experience, God was working on something else. He had another plan in mind. And so it said here, verse 10, so he arose. No, that's what the Lord wants of us this morning. When He speaks, Lord, I'm willing to stay by the brook when You tell me to. And when You say to get up, I've got something else. The Lord wants us to be just as obedient and say, Lord, I'll get up and go. Lord, help us this morning. I'll get up and go. Change is hard, isn't it? It's hard. I'm by the brook now. Lord, I'm going to start digging in the old dry bed of the stream there, of that brook. Maybe I can hit some water down. We keep digging. I don't want to leave. I've had time to kind of build a shelter here, and things have been going pretty good. And the Lord said, get up. Folks, God's plan doesn't always correlate with our comfort. Doesn't always correlate with what feels good in the flesh. But don't forget, God has a plan, and it's good. It's good. It doesn't always seem like it because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But He has a plan. And so Elijah got up and he went to Zarephath. And you know the story. Found the widow woman there gathering sticks. And he called unto her. And it seems a little presumptuous of Elijah, to be frank. But it was because God had told him to do it. That's why it wasn't. But here's this woman. And he says, go make me a cake. Bring me some water and that I can drink. And then he told her, he said, I pray that, you know, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, I don't have a cake, but just a handful of meal. And a barrel of oil, a little oil, and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. Two sticks. You know, in time of famine, the trees wouldn't have been growing. And over in Africa, One of the big expenses of living is firewood. One of the big expenses is firewood because there's such a demand for it. So this lady went and got two sticks just to build a little fire, and I'm going to go and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and then die. She was wrapping things up. I'm out of food. Don't have anything else. There's nowhere to turn. And so I'm just... But listen to what it said. Elijah said, fear not. Don't be afraid to give the last that you have to God. Don't be afraid to be obedient to the Lord when it seems like you're just at the last and then the Lord's calling for something. It's like, Lord, I'm on the last, my last reserves, and now you're calling for another sacrifice. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first. In other words, do what God wants you to do first and bring it. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according. There's a lot of obedience in this story, isn't there? And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And listen to this next verse. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. God will take care of you this morning. He'll take care of you. And when the brook dries up, and he says, it's time to go to Zarephath. Don't be afraid to go to Zarephath. Because the Lord's been working there too. He's been working and preparing a heart. So then our call is to be obedient to what the Lord tells us to do. But folks, God has our best interest at heart. When we don't understand and when we don't see what tomorrow holds, if we will be faithful today to be obedient, in His time, in the right time, the Lord is going to let us know when to dwell and when to move, when to get up, when to change, and when just to settle down and drink by the brook. The Lord's going to be faithful, folks, to take care of you because He knows where we're at this morning. I believe I've shared, but I still remember frequently the time, and I try to be very careful with our finances as all of God's children, as we should be. But I remember one time that it was many years ago, out soon after we'd gotten married, we would have been overdrawn. And I'm that doesn't happen. Understand, if you're careful, that should never happen. It shouldn't. But I let something slip, and we're living from, you know, dollar to dollar, and something slipped through, and it would have overdrawn. But there was some money in the bank account that I hadn't put. Someone had gotten our bank account numbers, the only time they ever did it, I think, about one of the only times it ever happened, and someone had put money in our bank account, and it had covered that, so there was no balance check. That was God. It was just God taking care of the need, even in my mistake. It was the Lord taking care of His children. Hasn't God, we could be here all week probably telling stories about how God has done things like that in the past. I think about, if I just jump forward 1,000 years from Elijah, and we're going to get over to these yogurt parfaits in conclusion here in just a few minutes. Think about how if we jump forward 1,000 years to Jesus on the mountain, the people down there on the hill, and Jesus standing there teaching them, and He told them, He said, take no thought for your life of what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. And He said, behold the fowls of the air. And he said, and He told me in one place there, He said, they don't have barns. They don't store things up. But He said, are ye not much better than they? He said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Jesus looked so often on the multitude, and He saw the blind, He saw the sick, He saw the leper. The leper is the one that nobody wants to touch. And Jesus was the one that was reaching out His hand. He was moved with compassion. He knew the problems. He knew the needs. This is the reason that Peter said, 1 Peter 5:7, the first part of this was read this morning, casting all your care upon Him. But what's that next portion of Scripture say? For, because He cares for you. And that really summarizes the message this morning. God cares for you. He loves you. He's interested in you. He sees your needs. How do you know when someone cares? They're there. They listen. They sacrifice. They don't run when trouble comes. The widow woman, you know the rest of the story there? Her son died. But because she had been faithful, Elijah, through the power of God, raised him from the dead. Folks, when you are obedient to the Lord, even when you don't understand all the whys and wherefores, the Lord is going to take care of you in the deepest needs that you have. Psalms 40, verse 17, this is the last passage of Scripture we'll read. Psalms 40, verse 17, David said, "But I am poor and needy. Yet, the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer." I was blessed. "Lord, I'm poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me." He's got a plan. He sees where we're at this morning. So, I don't know what it does for you today, but I just want to remind you that the Lord's thinking about you. I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know the burdens of your life, all of them together. I don't know the things that you have not shared. I don't know the things that are closest to your life and your heart. The questions, the fears, the places of indecision, the questions about tomorrow. But the Lord's thinking about you. 3 yogurt parfaits. Last week, I was out and I went through McDonald's drive-thru to get Renee and the children, or Zachary was gone, get Ethan, Vanessa, and Renee a yogurt parfait. I needed 3 yogurt parfaits. And as I pulled up, they had the two drive-thrus, two lanes. I pulled up in one, and a man, and he was losing his hair. I don't know how old he was, maybe in his 50s. I just remember, that's about all I remember. He was a man that he was losing his hair. He's kind of bald, and he was driving a blue GT. It was a sports car. He pulled up in the other lane, and we didn't make eye contact or anything. We drove up, and I noticed he was taking a little bit of time. I was actually thinking, wonder what's going on. He must have changed 100 or something, because it took him a little while to get paid. And he went forward, and I pulled up, and the lady said, someone paid for your food. Have a blessed day. I needed that. I needed that. It wasn't the $3 and what would it be? $3.25, $3.26. That's not what it was. The Lord spoke to me and said, "I'm thinking about you. I care about you." And it was 3 yogurt parfaits. It wasn't, I don't know if that was an angel, if they're bald and drive sports cars. I don't know. But do you know it's possible? It's possible. You know what? The Lord did that for us at that McDonald's. It was a young woman that time. I had the family with me that time. And we didn't know her either. And as we left, we're trying to see who it is. We didn't know him. But the Lord just caused him to pay for our food. You know, the Lord's thinking about you this morning. Sometimes it's not that the Lord's going to make the big changes in your life right now, because it might not be time. But it doesn't mean He's forgotten you. He's still paying for 3 yogurt parfaits just to let us know, "I see where you're at. I'm thinking about you, and I care about you." I trust the Lord will bless you this week. When you feel alone, you are not alone. When you feel heavy laden, there is one that we heard in Sunday school that can help take the weights and the cares in your life. When you don't know what tomorrow holds, and it brings, and it's very unsettling to you, what tomorrow holds. What does the song say? "I don't know about tomorrow, but it says, but I know who holds my hand." I'm thankful for those three yogurt parfaits and the message it communicated. There's a brook. There's a widow. I've got a plan in mind, and I'm thinking about you. I care for you, and most of all, God loves you this morning.